Welcome to the Shiny Brightly Show. I'm Howard Brown, author, speaker, Silicon Valley entrepreneur, international peacemaker, and yes, a two-time stage four cancer patient survivor and advocate. Each episode will take you from resilience to hope and a whole lot more, because shining brightly does make the world a better place. Be prepared to be inspired.
Hello, it's Howard Brown. Welcome to the Shining Brightly Show. I have an incredible story, an incredible guest today, and an incredible cause. Actually, it's a dual cause, and we're going to hold that out, but it's a real surprise for you, but it's awesome. Rennie, welcome. How are you?
Oh, I'm terrific. Thank you, Howard. Thank you for the opportunity to be on the show.
Oh, I'm really glad to have you. I have to tell people about you because the more I get to know you, I just love what you do, and you lift up yourself and lift up others. And that's my mantra. So we're so aligned there. Let me just tell people about Rennie Gabriel. So Rennie, you are an author of the best-selling book called Wealth on Any Income. And it's translated into 8 languages. It's incredible. You failed math in high school. Oh boy, one of those guys, huh? Right? You were broke at the age of 50. And then after applying 3 fundamental wealth principles, you became a multimillionaire in only a few years while earning $5,000 a month. You now donate 100% of your program, your book, and your coaching profits to animal and veterans charities. That is noble. That is heroic. And I love that. And so it's just an incredible, what you've been able to transform yourself. So tell me how you shine brightly each day.
The way the day starts during the day, I actually have a prayer. And I'm not religious at all. My wife doesn't even believe I have a religion, but I am spiritual. And the prayer goes like this. God, I'm very grateful. Thank you for my blessings. Thank you for my wealth, my prosperity, my relationships, and my health. Please provide blessings to all those you deem worthy. And please provide complete health for my wife. Amen.
Wow. I just want to take that in for a second because I do something similar. I look in the mirror. Everybody shaves or puts on makeup every day. And I tell myself something that I am blessed. I am grateful and I am lucky. How can I help myself and help others every day? And I say that both before and after, before I go to bed as well. So we do the same. This is incredible. Well, again, you got to tell the background. So you failed math, right? And you give me the background.
Yeah, the reality is I didn't actually fail it. I got a D because the teacher saw I turned in all the homework. I took all the tests. I was there. I tried my best. I failed every single exam, but he gave me a D for the class.
All right. Well, D's not, it's passing, but not a great thing, but you showed
the
effort.
The reality is I didn't pass one of the exams.
I got it. So, I mean, it's absolutely incredible that you can actually not be a great student, but try hard, but also then, lose a couple businesses, right? Go bankrupt. Okay. Yep. And now, I mean, you're a chief life underwriter. You're a certified financial planner. So take me back to the hardship and the hard days.
Well, I guess one of the things is that becoming a certified financial planner, a chartered life underwriter does not teach the basics of how to handle money effectively. It's all sorts of, tax strategies and investment strategies, nothing about the basics. I did not learn how to do a budget from any of that professional education. You want to know where I learned it?
I do. Where'd you learn how to do a budget?
A program called Debtors Anonymous. Oh. It's a 12-step program built like Alcoholics Anonymous, only for people who don't know how to handle money.
Right. And they really don't teach that well. And I come from the number one school for entrepreneurship in the world at Babson College, and they teach you the basics of a pro forma. But you really actually have to put it in action for yourself and for your business. So I agree with that. Yeah, we got to learn those skills, the basic skills. And it's funny, all these college kids, at least the good athletic ones, are getting name, image, and likeness money. And I'm not sure if they're able to, know how to actually manage it. It worries me, actually, with this type of money.
They do have no clue. A perfect example is what happened here in Los Angeles with Shohei Ohtani.
Yes.
Multi-million dollar contract. But since he doesn't speak English, he's got an interpreter. The interpreter is a gambler. Mm-hmm. And when originally they thought he blew $4 million of Shohei's money on his gambling debts, they in the investigation, they discovered it was $16 million.
That's incredible. And for those who don't know who Shohei Ohtani is, he's one of the most incredible Japanese baseball players that pitches and hits, and he hits at these all-star levels, and it's incredible. But he got taken advantage of the system as well there too. So it happens. So you struggled early on. It wasn't until you were around 50 that you kind of figured things out, right?
No. It was I had the idea of what needed to be done. And I actually put some practices into place a couple of times. But one of the things, we're going to get to it at the end, one of my mottos, which is about team. But one of the things is that the first time I treated myself like I mattered and paid myself first, this is one of the most basic principles. I was making $3,000 a month. I set aside $300 a month. And 10 months later, I needed to file my income taxes, and the IRS wanted $3,000. The whole thing went, and I was so discouraged and so upset that I just spent the last 10 months. Finally, I had some savings. The IRS took it all. And had I been willing to talk to someone else, they might have said, well, Rennie, at least you didn't have to borrow the money and then pay interest. At least you had it. At least you didn't have to finance it. So just start over again. But I wasn't talking to anybody else. I'm trying to do this by myself. And therefore, it took me another 8 years after I read The Richest Man in Babylon a second time before I started it again. But then I got divorced and the money disappeared again.
Unbelievable. And it's, you know what? I think, wasn't it that Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's, really didn't, he met the McDonald's brothers at a stand in like Fresno, California. I think he was 57, 58 years old. So I think what your lesson is, it's never too late.
That's right.
It's never too late to get your act together financially. Well, yeah. And it's
one
crazy.
Of those stories is Colonel Sanders didn't get to start getting people to buy his chicken recipe until he was over 65.
Exactly. So it's really interesting. And so, tell me, business and life failures, it taught you a lot of lessons.
Oh yeah, absolutely. One of the most important was the first time I went flat broke. I mean, so broke, I had to collect soda bottles and cans to get the refund money to buy groceries, was that I can rebuild it. And I had such a fear of going broke. Like if that ever happened, I'd never recover. But I recovered not once, not twice, but three times.
That's really humbles you if you're collecting, the bottle money to returns and, to buy a, I don't think in California you can get a $5 hot and ready pizza. I think in Michigan you can.
It goes farther if you buy the groceries. You can make your own pizza from it.
Right, exactly. So, but boy, that humbles you, and so what I say that's walking in darkness, and that's what I refer to in my Shining Brightly book is that you walk in that darkness and you got to learn lessons there, but you don't want to stay there too long. But you did. You actually went back to darkness a few times because you just didn't get it right. And what was that moment that you felt that you were getting more stability and more security?
I was 53.
Okay.
And I'm married for the third, final, last time to my best wife. And I had been saving $500 a month because I was earning $5,000 a month for the last 3 years. And I had $18,000. And this realtor who my wife worked with said, Rennie, you should buy this little 3-unit property. And I said, Robert, I only have $18,000. That's not going to buy anything. He says, well, this is such a good deal. I'll come up with half the down payment if your wife will come up with another $18,000. So the three of us bought it together. And in the next 5 years, I borrowed money. It's another concept of wealthy people. You borrow money to make money. And I borrowed money. We bought more apartment buildings together. In the next 5 years, we added 47 more units.
Wow.
So from 53 to 58, I built this. And by the time I'm 58, I didn't have to work anymore if that's what I chose.
Right. So you basically became a landlord and you had apartments, but you were investing them and getting and living off of people paying rent.
Correct. Yeah. It covered the mortgages, covered my standard of living, covered the credit card payments, covered everything. Oh, which, by the way, I had credit card debt at 50, 52, 53. And had I used that $18,000 to pay off the credit card debt, I would have not had the money to buy that three-unit property with my wife and the realtor.
So that's a lesson learned, although the mounting credit card debt is a problem. I will tell you, for our young people, there's because I actually work in higher education with Babson College, I see the amounts of debt for a four-year education now. Some of these students are walking out with 70 to 100 to 130 if you're getting an advanced, you know, degree or a law degree, or you're getting your doctoral hours and things like that. They're starting off behind the gun with a lot of debt. So that's what we're doing to our young people now. Now
And a lot of times they could go into a trade and start making more money than a college graduate without having that level of burden.
Yeah, there's going to be choices. I think the higher education world is in for, you know, some rough times. So there'll be some colleges that can't make it on fundraising and on that, and they'll close down. You know, it's going to be interesting because I see my own niece, who's an occupational therapist, just starting out her career, and she's taking a good portion of her first salary, and she's using it for debt payment every month.
Mm-hmm.
And that means she can't go and buy a nicer car, and she's not living in the nicest place possible. In fact, she actually moved home for the first year, which was actually a safe place with mom and dad. You don't have to pay rent, right? Always smart there. So you took your learnings, right? And you actually wrote a book and developed some courses. Tell us about your book. Tell us about your courses.
The book is really the what I would call the steps I took. Starting with the attitude. The first third of the book is about the attitude we have. Did we get it from our parents? Did we get it from school? You know, what is it we believe that we can or can't do? And what do you need to do to overcome those limiting beliefs? So that's the first third of the book. And then the latter two thirds is the basic principles that lead to wealth. Treating yourself like you matter, paying yourself first, what to do about debt, how you get rid of it, how you create a budget so you know that you're spending less than you're earning. And I've got simple formulas, like as long as you live on 80% of what you're earning, set aside 10% for expenses that'll show up later. So you have the money to spend on that stuff that you weren't planning on, and 10% to keep for the rest of your life. Simple 80-10-10 principle, and it works. It works so beautifully.
It does. And I think if you got to follow the steps, and you got to be disciplined, though, you might have to change bad habits.
Yes,
right?
That's true.
I have to tell you that one of my fears is that a lot of my friends, okay, and I have friends of all ages because I play basketball with young folks and older folks, but having your phone in your hand and being able to place a bet and gamble on these gambling sites, you can rack up some debt. Not everybody's picking a winner every single time, for sure. And it's a big business. You know, it's a $1 trillion business, and it's very simple to click on a button and watch your money go away. And so I put out a warning to that, you know, out there for some discipline, some mental toughness, some smarts, right? And things like that. But interesting thing that I've heard you speak about is that some of the super wealthy have advantages over the rest of us. Talk about that.
Well, the advantages are really something you're touching on, which is mental discipline. It's attitudes. It's attitudes like, don't focus on paying off debt first, build assets. It's the attitudes like, make sure you're spending less than you're earning. It's treating yourself like you matter. It's, well, I'm going to get to the one I'm going to, I plan to share at the end of the show.
Okay. Well, but at the same time, there's life-changing philanthropy that can be had. And yes. I think that if you accumulate enough wealth, and even small bits of philanthropy matter, right? Yeah. So it's really funny. So we had two different piggy banks. It's from the first chapter of my book, but for my daughter, okay? And she put her allowance and pennies, and she actually had to split it up. We had two. In Judaism, we call them tzedakah box. They're actually little Jewish piggy banks. And we put money half in one and half in the other. And we call this Emily's dilemma. And she actually said, why do I have to put half in the right one and half in the left one? And I was like, the one on the left is for, you're going to choose who gets this money, who's going to be the beneficiary. And we're teaching at a very young age, who can you help? It's a beautiful lesson, right? The other is, you want to buy candy? You want to buy a book? You want to buy, hopefully you'll buy a book. It's for you. And I have to tell you that that's a really valuable lesson that we taught my daughter, that my grandparents and great-grandparents taught us, and that we passed on as a family thing. And so the justice of giving or tzedakah is a good thing. And so my daughter still carries that forward. She yes. has two piggy banks as an adult, basically, two different checkbooks.
Yeah, and it's so funny too, because it doesn't require money to do that. And I didn't even realize it till my own children, who have children of their own, reminded me of what I did when they were young and I was struggling financially. We would gather up blankets, we would gather up clothing that we were going to donate, and we would take it to homeless shelters. We would feed people in soup kitchens. I forgot I had done that with them when they were little. We didn't have the money to donate. We donated our time or things that we no longer needed.
Still donation. It's still, that is still giving, and it's beautiful. That's very valuable. And you don't have to be money. You can donate your time. I just volunteered at something called Bookstock here in Michigan. And I was on my feet for 3 or 4 hours. And this little young African-American boy came in with his family, goes, where's the kids' books? He must have been 7 years old. And I pointed the direction, and he said, and then he was walking away with his family. He ran back to me. He said, Mister, is there Diary of a Wimpy Kid? I said, I hope so. I hope so. But I said, if there is, will you come back and show me? Well, his family actually came back because I said that. And he was waving the book and he was hugging the book. And it actually gave me faith that a young African-American boy, 7 years old, was so interested in reading. He hugged the book. It made my whole day. I didn't even felt like I worked 4 hours there volunteering. It was a beautiful thing. It gave me hope. And hope is that magical four-letter word that kept me going. And it was made everything worth it. And I was there to donate my time anyways. But just that one story made my day. It was a beautiful thing.
And that story gave me chills. Bless you, Howard.
So you have some causes, because really what's amazing is you donate now, okay, the proceeds of your book and your classes to two causes. Tell me about the causes.
Well, one of the main, they're all animal and veteran charities. And one of them in particular rescues dogs from environments where they could be euthanized. And if they meet the right size and temperament, they are trained as service animals, not pets, but service animals for veterans who've come back with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, other issues. And the suicide rate among returning soldiers is almost one an hour, but not one who's gotten their service dog has committed suicide. So this charity saves two lives at a time. The dog that would have been euthanized, the soldier that might have otherwise committed suicide.
That's beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful that's what you've dedicated yourself to. I just want to applaud you. I hope my audience will applaud you. That is a beautiful model. You're a role model, and it's a beautiful thing. And it's impressive. And it's just amazing. Really, it is. So any other stories you want to share or anything else? I mean, because I can't top that.
No, it's just that it just that's what's really turned me on to donating 100% of the profits from the work I do, because I don't need the money. Where should I put it? And it's causes like that that fulfill me.
It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And we'll feature the link to for that and for your causes all through that. So I want you to put on your sunglasses right now. All right.
Okay.
We're going to put on our sunglasses because it is the Shining Brightly spotlight. I want to shine the light on you. Incredible story, incredible philanthropy. You've turned yourself around. It's amazing. So tell people how they should get in touch with you. Tell them the free gift you have for them, and then share some inspiration with us.
Okay. So the easiest way to get a hold of me and the free gift is from the website, wealthonanyincome.com/TEDx. They'll be able to hear my TEDx talk and request a free 9-step roadmap to complete financial choice and philanthropy. So it doesn't matter where they are. These are the 9 steps to get to wealth and philanthropy. And I send an email once or twice a month with tips and techniques as well. So they get all that by going to wealthonanyincome.com/TEDx.
Excellent. Okay. And share, I always close the show with a little inspiration. What you got for me?
One of the things that's crucial, I didn't do this by myself. I mentioned my wife and the realtor. We bought this triplex. When I look back on the successful businesses that I've had, they were based on a team. It wealth creation, business growth, it's a team sport, not a solo sport.
That is amazing advice. And I actually say fighting cancer is a team sport too, because you need yourself, your caregiver, family, friends, your doctor, the nurses, especially. It is a team sport. That's just sage advice. And I really appreciate that as well. This has been an incredible show. There's so much to take away here from this. And for folks that are looking to get financially back on track, get their life back on track, talk to Rennie. That's simple. We're going to point him in your direction. So this is the Shining Brightly Show. Let me give some thanks and appreciation to the folks that got me here. My publisher, Front Edge Publishing, readthespirit.com is, I blog in that. It goes out to 50,000 plus people every Monday. And my podcast crew from Amplify You, they help me every day. And so if you come find me at shiningbrightly.com, you'll find out about the book, about making your event shine and having me as a speaker, and also this podcast. But more importantly, you'll learn about my advocacy in the cancer world, in the entrepreneurship and mentorship world, and also in the interfaith world. So that's really what's more important to me. And if we all remember to shine brightly a little bit, like we just did with Rennie, for ourselves, lift up yourself, for others, then lift up others, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, the world would become a better place. Rennie, it was awesome having you on. What a great show, and thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Shining Brightly with me, Howard Brown. Come interact with me at shiningbrightly.com. And remember, keep on shining.